into helping to prepare this budget. And, you know, Mr. Cornell in particular is an award-winning budgeter that has been through this and has stands ready to help us make the tough decisions. It's not a matter of if, it's when we face these as a community. I appreciate the spirited dialogue and the hard questions from the community, because there is a time coming, whether it's next year, the year after that, or 5 years from now, we will experience that. And the city is prepared, as we have been in the past, with reserves to help us get through, including a Section 115 trust that will help offset any type of CalPERS funding issues that we might have as we move forward. With that, I'd you know, we have a staff, a team here that would be more than happy to answer any questions if you have specific areas that you'd like to focus on.
Okay. I think we have a good discussion. Pro Tem Gregory?
I'm ready to make a motion, but I'd like to make another comment before I do.
Sure.
So, and I'm not blowing smoke here. I'm just telling you the truth. I have never seen a better budget and more disclosure in a city budget in my entire experience here in Paso Robles. Every year, Mr. Cornell nails it. And you can drill down to the very last penny. And with that ability and his ability to understand the finances, I have great confidence in him and his staff, and Mr. Hewitt also in his experience, that we'll be able to survive well in an economic downturn. And I think we have the tools, we have the funding to make it work. So with that, I'd like to make a motion that we approve Resolution 24XXX, adopting the operating and capital improvement budget for fiscal years 2024 and 25 and 26 as presented for all funds and expenditures, and direct the city manager to implement the budget.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Pro Tem Gregory and second by Councilman Strong. Any discussion? We'll call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
With respect to Mr. Cornell, no.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1.
Very good.
And I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve Resolution 24XXX, adopting the $65,761,201 as the city's appropriation limit for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025.
Second.
Motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Any discussion? Call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
With respect to Mr. Hewitt, no.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1.
Very good. All right, moving on then now to item 3, airport ad hoc recommendation for municipal airport full service fixed based operator, FBO, direction on future negotiations. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and recuse myself. I have to make that statement. Maybe Elizabeth, you can help me. But I'm going to recuse myself because I've not heard from an answer from FPPC. Maybe a few of you know that there was a complaint filed, actually two complaints filed against me because of the fact that I also leased property out at the airport. And the FPPC found that those two complaints did not have enough evidence to substantiate any kind of but we also asked for a further question, which we have not heard from, with regard to any items that I can participate on the airport. Very frustrating. They haven't answered it. I've been out there 45 years flying, also a business person out there, and it's been very difficult, the fact that I have not been able to participate on something that's very, very dear, and I think the council will certainly be able to handle it. So again, I'm going to recuse myself with the abundance of caution, because I don't want this to be an issue at all. So anything further, maybe Elizabeth, you can add to that?
Sure, just to clarify. So there were two complaints filed. You've been exonerated by the FPPC. They found there was no wrongdoing. There was not evidence of wrongdoing by participating in those votes. But to seek further clarification, you requested that we send a letter to the FPPC requesting prospective advice on future airport-related items, which is something that they can do, which then would provide you guidance on how to proceed. That is what we have not received a response from. I believe we filed that the end of February or beginning of March. So we've been waiting quite some time, but have not been able to get a response from them. So out of an abundance of caution, we do recommend that you step down.
So in my absence, Pro Tem Berry will handle the meeting, and hopefully I can come back at the end. If not, then maybe you can close the meeting as well, too.
Sure.
So if you would, let's go ahead and begin.
Sure.
I'll head out.
All right.
Thanks.
And just for the record, Mayor Hammond recused herself several weeks ago with this situation, so I want everybody to understand that ahead of time. I'm also, since I have the gavel, I'm going to take a 5-minute break. I'm sorry, Mark. That way everybody can set.
AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL.
Everything about Babe Ruth was bigger than life. He was the greatest player on the greatest team in America's biggest city, at a time when baseball was far and away America's great spectator sport. It was 1947 and Babe Ruth was dying. He stood on the field at Yankee Stadium, the house he built, as Yankee announcer Mel Allen introduced him to the sellout crowd, which had come to pay him tribute.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bambino, the Sultan of Swat, Babe Ruth!
And now, as the cheers of those fans rang out one more time, Babe Ruth walked to the microphone, and in a voice turned rasped and husky from disease, he spoke these words of appreciation and farewell.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the youth. The only real game, I think, in the world, baseball. There's been so many lovely things said about me, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to thank everybody. Thank you.
A year later, in August of 1948, Babe Ruth died. Presiding over the funeral in New York's St. Patrick's Cathedral was friend and fan Francis Cardinal Spellman, the Archbishop of New York.
Eternal rest grant him, O Lord, and may the divine spirit that inspired Babe Ruth to overcome hardships and win the crucial game of life, animate many generations of American youth to learn from the example of his struggles and successes, loyally to play their positions on all American teams. And may his generous-hearted soul, through the mercy of God, the final scoring of his own good deeds, and the prayers of his faithful friends, through the mercy of God, rest in everlasting peace. Amen.
For 2 days before the funeral, Ruth's body lay in an open coffin at the entrance of Yankee Stadium, and hundreds of thousands waited to pay their respects. Even in death, the Babe could draw a crowd.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Before and after December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii has beckoned visitors to an island paradise in the Pacific. But for 2 hours that morning, it was the site of a sneak attack that changed the course of world events. From that moment on, the name Pearl Harbor would be linked forever with those events, and an unforgettable day that will live in infamy. Well before that fateful morning, political tensions had been mounting between the Japanese Empire and the United States. Japan was already engaged in a fierce war with China and had signed an alliance with Germany in 1940. Though technically avowing neutrality, the U.S. was actively aiding England and other European countries that were at war with Germany, while putting an embargo on supplies such as oil to all of Germany's allies, including Japan. By mid-1941, the Japanese government had decided that war with the United States was inevitable. Even while peace negotiations continued, plans were being made to launch a preemptive airstrike against the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, home base of the Pacific Fleet. Sunday, December 7th, dawned across the rest of America much like any other day.
Our reserves are limited.
The nation's radios were tuned to NBC's religious program, National Vespers, or the New York Philharmonic over CBS, or the football playoff between the New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers on the Mutual Network. Then came the news that would shock and unite this nation like no other event in our history.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Stay tuned to WOR for further developments.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
Here's the bulletin. Washington, the president decided today after Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor and Manila to call an extraordinary meeting of the cabinet for 8:30 p.m. tonight and to have congressional leaders of both parties join the conference at 9 p.m. And now we take you to Honolulu.
We have witnessed this morning
the attack on Pearl Harbor left 2,335 Americans dead, over half of whom perished when a bomb dropped from a Japanese fighter plane detonated the ammunition supplies on the battleship USS Arizona. There were more than 1,000 wounded, and dozens of U.S. ships were destroyed or seriously damaged. But if Japan had hoped to obliterate U.S. opposition by its attack, the results were just the opposite. Shocked and angered, the country united behind President Roosevelt's decision to declare war on Japan.
No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The day that will live in infamy became only the first of many, as the United States entered the most devastating global conflict in modern history.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Welcome to Heroes of the Air. True stories of those who flew for America and earned the nation's supreme military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Heroes of the Air is brought to you by the Air Force Association, an independent nonprofit aerospace organization which promotes public understanding of the role aerospace power plays in our national defense. Your host for Heroes of the Air is Gene Pell.
Names such as Heartbreak Ridge, the Punch Bowl, Triangle Hill, and Iron Horse Mountain had become all too familiar to the 8th U.S. Army that fall. While troops slugged it out with Chinese forces below, Air Force Major Charles J. Loring, Jr. was leading a flight of four F-80 type aircraft on a close support mission near Sniper Ridge, North Korea, November 22, 1952. Major Loring rolled into his dive bomb run after receiving orders to go after enemy gun positions, which were harassing friendly ground troops. Throughout the run, extremely accurate ground fire was directed on his aircraft. But disregarding the accuracy and intensity of the fire, Major Loring aggressively continued to press the attack until his aircraft was hit. At approximately 4,000 feet, he deliberately altered his course and aimed his diving plane at active gun emplacements concentrated on a ridge northwest of the brief target. He turned his aircraft 45 degrees to the left, pulled up in a deliberate, controlled maneuver, and elected to sacrifice his life by diving his plane directly into the midst of the enemy emplacements. His selfless and heroic action completely destroyed the enemy gun emplacements and eliminated a dangerous threat to United Nations ground forces. For his noble spirit, superlative courage, and conspicuous self-sacrifice in inflicting maximum damage on the enemy, and for valor of the highest degree in keeping with the finest traditions of the U.S. Air Force, Major Charles J. Loring, Jr. was posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor.
The Air Force Association is proud to bring you Heroes of the Air, dedicated to those who earned the nation's highest military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Their service and sacrifice reflect an ideal that puts others and country above self. AFA salutes all men and women in the Air Force who so selflessly serve our country each day at home and around the globe. Heroes of the Air is produced by Pelcom Communications in association with Radio America.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Okay. So we're going to start on item 3, which is the Airport Ad Hoc Committee recommendation for the Municipal Airport Full Service Fixed-Based Operator. And before I let our staff start, I want to say thank you to everybody who participated in this. We had wonderful consultants that helped us understand everything. We have a wonderful operator now with ACI Jet, and Lloyd's is a great FBO operator as well. And when this all started, there's a lot of history. I'm going to let Mark go over that. But the idea was to get as much information as possible. So tonight, when we're doing our presentations and our conversations at the mic, I want to just please ask everybody to be respectful so we could hear what everybody has to say so we can make the best and fairest decision tonight. So with that, Mark, please go ahead.
Members of the council, public, Mark Scandalis, airport manager. Never thought we would have an airport topic with more support than the budget. It's an honor to run the airport. As we think about the airport, I want to remind everyone that the airport is an enterprise fund. We are funded independently from the taxpayer-funded general fund through rates and fees at the airport. We're here to go over the Paso Robles Municipal Airport fixed-based operator full-service request for proposal. I do expect about a 30-minute presentation, so I want to give an agenda about where we're going. First, we're going to have a timeline of the RFP's issuance, the RFP document itself, the evaluation process, the Joint City Council Airport Commission meeting, and the Ad Hoc Committee's formation, the Ad Hoc Committee's meetings themselves, and our consultant's proposal comparison and financial analysis, the Ad Hoc Committee's recommendation, which tonight is to authorize negotiations. The contract would come back to City Council for final approval. At the end, we'll have an opportunity for public comment and questions. So this has been over a three-year process since the initial formation of a subcommittee of the Airport Commission. Throughout this entire process, we have had a support team, AMCG Consultants, Aviation Management Consulting Group. They have over 25 years in the business. They provide a range of consulting services, collectively of over 190 years experience on the team. We had Bob Trimborn, Dave Ruppel, who's here tonight, and Brandon Bourne, who's here tonight, helping us out through the entire process. In addition to that, we had legal counsel along with us as well from BBK, the Airports Division, Thomas Rice. So the timeline for the issuance of the RFP in mid-2021, pending the expiration of our current fuel contract, a subcommittee of the Airport Commission was formed. After a number of public meetings, this subcommittee recommended that the city go out for a public bid for the fuel services contract. Subcommittee members were Eric Cook, Ben Andros, and Mark Dart. In early 2022, the city contracted with AMCG Consultants to draft the RFP based on industry best practices, with support from our subcommittee and staff. Multiple departments within the city reviewed the drafts before it went out to the public. The RFP document itself's purpose was the City of Paso Robles is requesting proposals from qualified and experienced entities interested in managing, operating, and marketing the fixed-based operation, products, services, and facilities at the airport. I'll note that the city reserves the right to negotiate all points in the RFP. So to get this RFP out into the most number of people and get the best response from the public, we did a significant amount of public outreach. It was distributed publicly for 11 weeks, from April 14th to June 29th, 2023. We had direct communication with a number of interested parties. Many of them were FBO candidates themselves. We had development groups, economic consulting services, and of course it went to the Paso Robles Airport Commission. In addition to those direct communications, we had paid advertisements and industry websites and message boards. American Association of Airport Executives, our local chapter of that organization, SWAE, National Air Transportation Association, Airport Business Magazine, Association of California Airports. It was listed on the city's website and on CIPlist.com, where all city RFPs are issued. A high-level overview of what was offered in the RFP document for lease area. In red are the existing areas known as the FBO today. In yellow are areas that we've identified for development. This is found on page 2 of the RFP. Milestones throughout this entire RFP process. April 14th, 23, it was released to the public. By May 8th, we had a proposer site visit where we had our FBOs pull the RFP online. This included ACI Jet, Jet West, J3 Aviation, Modesto Jet Center, Lloyd's Aviation, and Flying Tigers. May 18th, we had a deadline for clarifying questions. So the proposers had an opportunity to ask the city clarifying questions on the RFP document so they could fully respond what the city needed. In total, there were 24 clarifying questions answered in 3 addendums to the RFP. June 29th, 2023 was the deadline for the RFP. We received 2 responses, one from ACI Jet and one from Lloyd's Aviation. A few of the proposers who did not ultimately turn a proposal in contacted and said they were unable to meet the maintenance obligations detailed in the RFP. The requested services that the city asked for at the airport are detailed in our minimum standards for aeronautical services. This is a document that is adopted by the City Council based on FAA's guidance. The primary services that are required are aircraft fueling and aircraft maintenance. Secondary services are an a la carte menu, which the FBO candidates have to choose 2 or more. That's aircraft charter, rental, storage, central pilot supplies, or other things approved by the city. One of the first things we did in this evaluation process after getting the 2 proposals in was to review the confidential financial information. This was done by the city's finance department. This was a pass-fail review of that of those documents. Finance department was not asked to rank which one was stronger financially, but only to see if the proposers were able to do what they put in their response. This included financial statements of capability, 3-year historical income and loss statements, identification of rents, fees, and other charges to pay to the city, and proof of insurance. Following this review, both firms were deemed capable of providing the required services, and both firms were able to complete the capital improvements detailed in their individual proposals. No evidence was found that indicated financial insolvency of either proposer. Detailed in the RFP were review committees to evaluate the proposals received. First was an evaluation review committee. This was a paper review of the proposals. We had a 9-member committee, which was made up of tried to get a wide breadth of people that understood the City of Paso Robles, understood the airport, and understood the required services. This was airport commissioners, city management staff, airport users, and other airport managers at different airports. Following that review, Lloyd's Aviation was favored by a count of 5-4. The average score for Lloyd's Aviation was 91.1 points. Average score for ACI Jet, 86.8 points. Also detailed in the RFP document is a another review committee, an interview committee. We brought back both candidates for an in-person interview in this building right here. It was a 30-minute presentation by the proposers, and the committee had an opportunity to ask questions for another 30 minutes or so. The committee deliberated and voted on which proposer they preferred. The committee also forwarded recommended negotiation points to the city council. Seven-member committee made up of airport commissioners, airport users, and other airport managers regionally, San Luis Obispo, Salinas, and Paso Robles. The results of the interview committee was that Lloyd's Aviation was favored by a vote of 4-3. There was a positive impression of the culture fit with City of Paso Robles, positive impression of their customer service. Lloyd's Aviation showed an attentiveness to general aviation operations while being able to serve the jet traffic that comes to Paso Robles. And there was a consistency with the offerings detailed in the RFP. Following the deliberations and vote, the interview committee recommended negotiation points for the city council. They recommended the city council retain the ability to negotiate with both proposers if they chose to do so, while recommending the acknowledging the preference for Lloyd's Aviation. Recommended negotiation to focus on by each proposer were given. Examples include the FBO owning and operating the maintenance rather than a subcontract agreement, timely hangar developments detailed in each proposal, retaining the city council's ability to set fees and rates at the airport, and to ensure the terminal expansion was consistent with the existing structure. Following the review or the evaluation, a joint city council slash airport commission meeting was held on December 19, 2023. At this meeting, staff presented the results of the RFP process, and city council gave direction to form an ad hoc committee to further study the proposals. City Council asked staff to gather more information from the proposers. Staff was to present this information gathered at the ad hoc meetings, including a detailed financial review and comparison of the proposals. And the ad hoc was to provide direction to staff on which provider was preferred. The motion was made by Councilmember Roden, seconded by Bausch, in a unanimous 5-0 vote. The ad hoc committee was formed. The members were Steve Gregory, Sharon Roden, Eric Cook, and Ben Andrews from the Airport Commission. At this meeting, various questions were raised of the proposals themselves. On December 27th, we sent an information request to the proposers to get the answers, and then we presented those at the next ad hoc meeting. March 28th was the first ad hoc meeting. I'd call this a level setting meeting. We set the ground rules of what the ad hoc was, purpose was. It was a publicly noticed meeting. We took public comment. We reviewed the process that had happened to date. We introduced our consultants and defined their role in the process, that role being providing an objective financial analysis and comparison of the proposals. AMCG was not asked to rank the proposals. That is left to the city to decide. At that meeting, we also set future meeting dates and agenda items that the ad hoc would like to see. April 18th was ad hoc number two. This was a publicly noticed meeting. We took public comment. Presentations included one from AMCG, which was the comprehensive comparison of the proposals and financial analysis. We will go into that in detail in later slides. Additionally, the Assistant City Attorney's Office provided results of a second litigation check and current legal issues with both firms per the request of the ad hoc. The bottom line for that while both proposers have been involved in litigation to some extent, there was nothing the city attorney's office found that could be disqualifying or considered disqualifying. ACI Jet had been a party to various legal matters as expected for a company their size, and they'd been sent two formal letters regarding their conduct while under contract with the city. Lloyd's Aviation, a party to a broader industry-wide lawsuit concerning aviation fuel. Following those two presentations, 14 questions were answered are asked by the ad hoc committee to be addressed in ad hoc number three. We're now going to go into the overview of the proposals prepared by MCG consultants. This is a 70-page document attached to your staff report tonight. In total, we had 44 clarifying questions, 24 asked by the proposers to the city, and 20 questions asked by the city to the proposers. Bottom line for the proposal analysis is that there is no concerns regarding leadership, experience, and capabilities of the proposers. Products, services, and hours of operation are all very similar. The most significant difference is in the capital improvements proposed. The difference in proposed revenue to the city was very small. All rents and fees are subject to negotiation, and that the city should consider the airport and the Passerolles community when thinking about this decision. Again, AMCG was not asked to rank the proposals. That's left to the city. Here's an executive summary we found on page five of the consultant's report. There's a lot going on here, but there's generally an overview of the experience of each proposer, the services they're offering the city, the hours of operation and staff that they'd have, marketing efforts they provide for the airport, proposed length of the term, capital improvements, spaceport support, how they'd support the city if we were to get that designation, compensation to the city, and a development plan. We will go into detail on these right now. So again, there is a lot going on here. This is found on page 22 of your staff report from the consultant's report. This is a five-year projection of Lloyd's Aviation's fees and rents to be paid by the city is broken down into each area that they would be leasing from the city. Here's ACI Jets found on page 23 of the consultant's report. Again, five-year projections, fees and rents to be paid to the city. We're not going to go into key indicators and main differences between these two proposals. We're going to talk about the terms. We're going to talk about the revenue share split to the city. We're talking about development plans, rent to be paid to the city, and the aircraft maintenance operations. We'll remind us that all terms are negotiable. We're asking to enter into negotiations tonight. So the term that each proposer put into their proposal, Lloyd's Aviation wanted an initial five-year term. Upon commencement of their construction, they wanted a new 40-year term. That was a 30-year term with 2 5-year extensions. ACI Jet noted that they would accept a 5-year term with no development, but we're looking for a 40-year term with the phase one development. Revenue share split fees to the city. Lloyd's Aviation proposed the city would receive 85% of the revenue share split, Lloyd's Aviation 15%. City Council would set the rates and fees at the airport. ACI Jet proposed 20% to the city, 80% for ACI Jet, and ACI Jet provided a new fee structure for the airport. Here's an example of what that new fee structure or what the fee structures would look like on the public ramp areas. Of course, the proposers are entitled to charge what they'd like on the areas that they are leasing themselves, but on public ramp areas, a very light jet today, Lloyd's Aviation is adopting the City Council's fee structure. A very light jet costs $30. The payment to the city at 85% is $25.50. The payment to Lloyd's Aviation would be $4.50. The impact to the end user would receive no change. For ACI Jet, for a very light jet, they are proposing $150 per night. Payment to the city at twenty percent is $30 per night. Payment to the proposer is $120. This accounts for an impact to the user of $120 increase per night. ACI Jet did provide minimum fuel purchases to which they could waive the fees. At that point, if the fee was waived, the city would also waive their cut of the fee as well. For development plans, Lloyd's Aviation has committed development of the airport terminal and the hangar development. Airport terminal is about $3 million. Hangar development is about $5.9 million. For the timelines proposed in their proposal, the airport terminal is anticipated this phase will extend 12 to 18 months. For the hangar development, ACI or Lloyd's Aviation said immediately upon the award of lease, Lloyd's Aviation will begin final design of the hangar development, beginning construction on the pre-sold hangars as soon as possible. Their total committed development is $8.95 million. For ACI Jet, they were committed to phase one, which is an airport terminal expansion, and one large community hangar valued at $5.9 million. Their timeline was as soon as possible. In addition to the phase one development, ACI Jet proposed a phase two development. In their proposal, they called this prospective development pending demand and property availability. They did not assign a value in their original RFP response, but have provided various figures and supplemental responses and other public communications varying from $11 million to $15.3 million. The timeline for this development in their proposal was the development would commence upon securing funding for educational facilities and anchor tenants for the multi-use hangar. We estimate this would take less than 10 years. Here is just an aerial shot of what the developments would look like, the hangar developments and the airport terminal expansion. This is what Lloyd's Aviation Development Plan could look like for the FBO expansion. It's a two-story expansion, I think they noted. 5,200 square feet for this, pilot's lounge, meeting rooms, additional restrooms, things that we are lacking in the airport terminal today. I will note this is conceptual and subject to review. It may not look like this if it was selected. Here's the hangar development ACI or Lloyd's Aviation proposed. It's 11 60 by 60 box hangars. These could hold multiple general aviation aircraft up to mid-sized jets, the Citations, Pilatus, King Airs, things like that. And they also proposed 8 T hangars, which are your standard general aviation hangars. The taxiway leading to this is 55 feet wide, so I believe that's why they chose 60 by 60 hangars, the largest hangar you can get on that site without other developments. ACI Jets development plan, also conceptual, subject to review. You can see a two-story addition to the airport terminal, also adds meeting rooms, restroom areas, pilot's lounge, things that we need at the airport. There is a line services shack and an 18,000 square foot hangar. Additionally, they talked about refreshing the interior of the airport terminal, carpets, paint, things of that nature. Here is the prospective development from ACI Jet on phase two, 250 by 150 foot hangar, 100 by 100 foot hangar, relocation of the fuel islands, car parking areas. No timeline was identified in the response. And on this site, they proposed a 10-year lease that would expire if development didn't happen, and also proposed a 30-year first right of refusal upon expiration. So the bottom line for the committed capital developments for the longer-term lease, Lloyd's Aviation is proposing airport terminal expansion at $3 million, hangars at $5.9 million for total development of $8.95 million. ACI Jet is committed to phase one for the 40-year term at $5.9 million. Of course, estimates of value, terms are negotiable. Fees and rents to be paid to the city are very similar, $255,000 to $254,000. Year one estimates, terms are negotiable. For aircraft maintenance, Lloyd's Aviation proposed to provide piston and turbine airframe and power plant maintenance. For the employment type, Lloyd's Aviation was going to employ all technicians as staff of Lloyd's Aviation Maintenance. And for staffing levels, Lloyd's noted that Lloyd's has an agreement with one technician already and will supply another apprentice through their already established and operating apprenticeship program. Our plan is to grow the shop to 5 to 6 technicians. For ACI Jet, they proposed turbine and piston maintenance. Employment type was to provide turbine maintenance through their support team of 12 AOG technicians. AOG means aircraft on ground, so if an aircraft is stranded at an airport, a on-call technician can roll up in a van or pickup truck and work on the aircraft. For piston service, they were proposing to subcontract maintenance under a long-term leasehold agreement. The city did ask if proposers were to provide a sublease, please provide the agreement or note that you do have an agreement. No agreement was identified in their response. For the staffing levels, they would provide one manager, two technicians, and one assistant. May 9th was ad hoc meeting number 3. This was a publicly noticed meeting. We took public comment. AMCG presented their review to clarify the proposals based on the 14 questions from the previous ad hoc meeting. Deliberations and a vote happened by the committee members. Lloyd's Aviation was recommended by a 3-to-1 vote. Following that vote, the entire committee discussed recommended negotiation points for Lloyd's Aviation. Those being that the city should offer an initial 5-year term with the opportunity to go beyond. That the city should focus on development of the hangar complex all at once. That we should provide contract prices to military clients to ensure competitive fuel prices by benchmarking regionally. This is a practice we do right now in our current fuel contract. They also recommended the city contract directly with Joe's Diner and other subtenants on city-owned properties. Ensure the maintenance shop is opened in a timely manner to serve the airport and the regional community. And ensure the expansion of the airport terminal meets city design parameters. Some points of clarification that came up through this ad hoc process. One was the ownership of the FBOs. Ultimately, the city sees no issues there. Lloyd's Aviation did sell internally as one of their partners was looking to retire. Sales complete, and there's no issues there. ACI Jet also no issues. Bill Borgmiller remains the CEO and president. They are 49% owned by a Freeman Holding Group. For the Royal Air Force, we were able to discover that the Royal Air Force is not under contract with any FBO. We'd expect them to continue to operate out of Paso Robles. They're welcome here. I have been communicating directly with them, coordinating their return trip in July. They're excited to come back. They like their proximity to the military ranges. They like the weather in Paso Robles, and they certainly like the wine. Another one was the DLA's Defense Logistics Agency military fuel contract. So this is the U.S. military. There was a question of if there was a change in the proposers or a change in the contract, could the proposers provide fuel to the U.S. military? The short answer is yes. AMCG did look into this detail. They called the Defense Logistics Agency. They called AvFuel, who's the fuel provider for both Lloyd's and ACI Jet, and they both can provide fuel on day one. With that, I'd like to bring up Eric Cook, chairman of the Paso Robles Airport Commission, who was selected by the ad hoc committee to give a statement on the reasonings why they chose Lloyd's Aviation.
Mark, thank you for the introduction. My name is Eric Cook. I currently serve as the chairman of the Airport Commission and have been on the commission for 8 years. Excuse me. As an active pilot and member of the commission, I am pleased to have been included in this process, and I'm very impressed with the thought and effort that staff, our consultants, and proposers have put into this selection. As you all know, an FBO provides aeronautical experience at the airport, fueling, maintenance, charter, storage, and the like. Selecting an FBO that fits well with a specific airport is a very important decision, and much care has been taken over the past 3 years that has allowed us to come to a decision point on this item. A subcommittee of the Airport Commission was formed to discuss the topic. Public meetings were held to receive public input, and the City Council formed an ad hoc committee to do a deep dive into each of the proposals received. After three meetings and deliberation, I was asked by the ad hoc committee to present the results of the ad hoc discussions, specifically why Lloyd's Aviation was chosen as a recommended FBO candidate to begin negotiations. The ad hoc felt both proposals were very competitive, but after an exhaustive review of over 400 pages of material, we felt the main difference between the proposals came down to development plans, aircraft maintenance, and a vision fit for the future of the Paso Robles Airport. First, the proposed development plans were both similar, but different at the same time. Both proposed a two-story addition to the airport terminal, which would add a much-needed pilot's lounge, additional meeting space, and additional restrooms to our airport terminal. Both candidates also proposed hangar developments. The ad hoc felt that Lloyd's proposed development of 19 individual hangar spaces was a greater benefit to the airport than the one large community hangar proposed by ACI Jet. Second, Lloyd's Aviation was committed to opening a second location to complement their already existing maintenance operation at Meadows Field and Bakersfield. Lloyd's Aviation Maintenance is a certified Cessna and Piper dealership and currently maintains a near 50-50 mix of piston to turbine aircraft. Paso Robles has 221 based aircraft. 87% are the classic single-engine general aviation airplanes. In addition to these based aircraft, the airport sees a significant amount of transient turbine traffic. Lloyd's has a reputation and capacity to service all types of aircraft and proposes to do so on site through their maintenance operation. Moreover, this proposed maintenance shop will greatly benefit the local region, as certified mechanic shops are in short supply on the Central Coast. Third, the ad hoc had a positive impression of how Lloyd's would fit into the existing structure and culture of the Paso Robles Airport. By all accounts, Lloyd showed they were willing to do business as one of the many operators at the airport, integrating their operations into our existing environment. In conclusion, the ad hoc committee ultimately voted to recommend Lloyd's Aviation because we felt their mixture of a development plan that will enhance our airport terminal and provide much needed hangar space for the local and itinerant pilot community, as well as Lloyd's willingness to take ownership of the maintenance operation that greatly benefits the airport and local region. Thank you.
With that, tonight the recommendation is to accept the findings and recommendations of the ad hoc committee, authorize the city manager to enter negotiations with Lloyd's Aviation for the fixed base operator services at the Paso Robles Municipal Airport. That concludes my presentation. Happy to take any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you, Mark. So, in the council, any questions for Mark? Go ahead, Fred.
Mark, I'm wondering, with the negotiations on the contract, will the council have the ability to weigh in on what it would like to see in that negotiations as well?
Elizabeth, correct me if I'm wrong, but just like the other recommendation bodies, tonight you can forward things that we can try to get in the negotiations, yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You want to add to that, Elizabeth? You're okay.
No, I think Mark summed it up. The council will be directing us as to the issues that are important to them, and then staff will go back and do the negotiations. And if necessary, we'll come back and check in with you guys.
Good.
Sharon? Chris?
Thank you. So I want to go back to December 19th. We had the joint meeting, if you recall. My impression of what was going to go back to the ad hoc committee was a review of the RFP process. There was quite a few questions about why there were only two respondents. There's questions regarding why there was a moratorium on contacting any members of the city council. There were a lot of other questions, and I thought that's what was going to happen. It looks like on March 28th at your level setting meeting, that direction changed. I'm still confused as to whether or not that RFP process was accurate or not. You indicated tonight that was because I think two of the seven couldn't provide maintenance. That's the first time I've heard of that. And I asked this question last week and I didn't get that response. So I'm really stuck on, was this a good RFP process? I'm still wondering if we wouldn't be better off, because there's been so many changes. Both parties were allowed to make changes to their proposal at the ad hoc committee's request. But was that same opportunity afforded to the other non-respondents, and would they have a different response? I want to see what's best for the city of Paso Robles. I want to make sure the city is getting a fair return on its investment so far. I want to see the city become a good partner of whoever the ultimate FBO operator is. But I want to see this. This is a 40-year possibility. Did we adequately address all of the questions regarding the RFP?
So, sorry, a lot there. I think the first question was something to do with the ad hocs.
First question is, did we address all of the concerns of the RFP?
Yes, we had an opportunity to answer clarifying questions and issue three addendums to the RFP.
Would the other five non-respondents agree with that?
They had the same opportunity that the two respondents that ultimately proposed did. It was out for 11 weeks. RFPs that I've been involved in previously, about 6 weeks, for point of reference.
But during the 19th, there were several questions, you know, regarding why respondents weren't allowed to contact the council.
I'll defer to the city attorney's office on why we had that come up.
Sure, happy to respond to that. So there was a provision in the RFP that limited lobbying. The purpose of that is to ensure a fair playing field during the submission of the proposals and following that. The restrictions on communications in the RFP was narrowly tailored to ensure a level playing field. That was the purpose. There is case law that supports that. It is a common provision in RFPs across the state. The intent is to provide a set of rules that everybody is aware of in the RFP. There is no First Amendment right to speak with a public official in private. No one was prohibited from coming forward to one of these meetings and speaking. ACI Jet took advantage of that repeatedly during this process. The RFP provided that there was to be no lobbying efforts, and ACI Jet and Lloyd's, who were our two respondents, submitted and agreed to those terms.
Do we have that same stipulation in other RFPs in the city?
I can't speak to every RFP, but it is a very common stipulation in RFPs across the state and is used to in larger, more important RFPs to ensure that everyone's got the same information.
So I understand and concede across the state, but I don't recall ever seeing anything within the city limits. So thank you for that clarification. If the I'm going to hold off on asking that question. I'll do that in just a second. I'm done for now.
Okay. Anybody else? It's time. Go ahead, Chair.
I know, hearing from people who have been involved in these kind of RFPs, this has been an exceptionally long process, more so than has existed in their experience. I appreciate everybody who has been involved in this, the proponents, the staff. They've all been diligent in trying to answer questions. And as a point of clarification, I think you mentioned that some of the other proponents dropped out because they weren't able to meet the minimum requirements, which is maintenance. Providing maintenance?
Yeah, the few I was able to, or that contacted me, that was the, one of the reasons they gave.
Okay, and that was a minimum requirement for us. And both proponents are able to do that. So, this was for me personally, this was a great experience. I spent a lot of time, even being appointed to the ad hoc, when Mayor Hammond resigned his position on there. I was appointed to it. Prior to that, I spent a significant amount of time with both proponents and at the airport and speaking with a lot of people who have businesses out at the airport. But when it came time to actually look at these proposals, that's what we looked at.
So, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I think we're just in questions right now. So if you have a question for staff, we'll get to council member comments in a minute.
I think you just answered the one that I wanted questioned. And I was going to follow up with the provision that our city attorney talked about, but she already answered that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, and I had a question. But we can't ask questions of the applicants, either of the applicants, can we?
Yeah. No, I think that was done through the ad hocs, so open public notice meetings.
Right now, this is questions for staff. There is public comment coming, and so if the proposers speak and you have questions for them, certainly we can address that at the time.
Okay, so I can't ask that question until after this public has spoken.
Yeah. Correct.
So back when it comes back to us. All right, fine. I'll ask it then.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
So thank you. So I guess I'm kind of hung up on this 5-year. We're asking for a multi-million dollar investment, and we only, if I understand correctly, May 9th ad hoc, you said that you had asked them to consider a 5-year with extension. Did I understand that correctly?
The original RFP proposal was 5 years with no development, up to a long-term contract of maximum 40 years. All terms are negotiable.
So where are we at now on May 9th? What did we ask? What was the 5-year term on May 9th?
I don't think we asked them to have a 5-year term on May 9th.
I think, Councilmember Bash, if I may, I believe what you're referring to is the ad hoc's recommendation on the negotiating points. The ad hoc recommended that the city begin with a 5-year lease term. And if the proposer is able to perform in those 5 years various milestones on development, then they might be entitled to the longer term based on having met those that test. Essentially, it's sort of a prove it or lose it contract.
Is that enough time to develop a significant ROI? Willing to make that kind of investment on a 5-year commitment?
I think so, yes, but I'll probably defer to experts on development over there.
God, I mean, I would love to see that. My clients would never, ever go for that. That's not nearly long enough. You're talking about a $5 million investment on a 5-year contract. You'd have to, your rents would have to be huge to make that work.
One other option, I think the general idea that the ad hoc was going for was to ensure that, obviously, get somebody in, but then to ensure that they will perform, and not to give a grant an extremely long contract upfront that would then have to be terminated, say, if they were unable to perform on a scheduled performance, but rather to create a situation where they had a performance goals and then they would get the longer term contract. There's a couple of ways to do it, and obviously, as I think Mark keeps reminding us, it's all subject to negotiation, and we're open to the council's views on the best approach to structure that lease when we get to it. But for now, the key question is which proposer you prefer and which proposer you want us to start negotiating with, and if you have a preference in terms of how we structure that lease, obviously we'd love to hear that.
I'll defer to and side with Mr. Shong. There'll be interesting questions to ask the applicants. I can't see an incentive there. I'm blind to it. You probably see more developments than I do, but I'm not seeing it on a 5-year.
Well, and that is a similar question to what I wanted to ask. I didn't know we could talk to the consultant as well, but if we can ask questions there. I'm thinking of the city and our roads, and we're proposing a bond or a measure on the ballot so that we can bond the money anticipated revenue. But that requires a longer term in order to get the bond. So I can't understand how we're expecting them to do it without that ability.
Councilmember Strong, that would be the goal of a contract would be to give them the time to get those, to accomplish those milestones, to get financing in place, to put hire consultants. Obviously, right now they're starting it from scratch, from a proposal, from some drawings. After council makes a decision and we start negotiating, and especially when they get into a lease, they'll have a much firmer position. They'll be able to hire consultants, hire architects, hire engineers, start putting together a real development plan, making submissions to the city, working through the committee on those submissions, and also working on financing to the extent they require financing. And I think 5 years is a good enough period to get to a place where they've got the approvals.
All right, but you're not saying that that's an absolute. We do have some negotiating room as to how long we're going to make that first term.
Absolutely. I'll go back to Mark's comments. It's all subject to negotiation. The one limitation I will say in law on this is that the FAA does not like for airports to enter into leases for more than 3 to 5 years if there is no development proposed. So if it's just this one, an FBO providing services, it's a short-term lease.
Proposal.
Yeah, you need
what
to.
What I'm talking about is with the development proposal.
Absolutely, yeah, that's absolutely negotiable, and the amount of a development will determine the length of a lease. And so nothing's set in stone at this point about the length of a lease. We're going to take a good hard look at that with the help of consultants and determine is this development proposal, is this amount of investment worth 40 years? Is it worth 30 years?